I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a word from me in my weekly Can I Just Tell You commentary. But first, we're going to go behind closed doors to talk about Greek life on campus. Now, you might have seen images of white fraternity life in films like Animal House and W, and you might have seen black fraternities depicted in films like School Days and Stomp the Yard. And while the images are not always flattering, they do at least acknowledge that these institutions are, for some people, an important part of college life. Now, a new group of students are trying their hand at fraternity life. Asian Americans. The number of Asian American fraternities has grown exponentially since the 1990s, according to a new piece in the online publication The Daily Beast. For example, there are some 48 active chapters of the Lambda Phi Epsilon fraternity, which was founded at UCLA in 1981. But the piece also brings to light several incidents of physical hazing at some of the Asian American fraternities that have resulted in student deaths. We wanted to ask whether there's something about the ethos or the culture of the ethnic fraternities that allows these incidents to occur. We wanted to talk more about this, so we've called upon Brian G. He's the president of the board of the Alumni Association of the Pi Alpha Phi chapter at the University of California at Berkeley. His fraternity is one of the first Asian American fraternities in the country. Ken Hui is an alumnus of the same fraternity at the University of California Santa Barbara campus. And Marion Pumaroth is the sister of Jack Pumaroth, who died after over-drinking at the University of Texas chapter of Lambda Phi Epsilon, one of the largest Asian American fraternities. I welcome you all. I thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Brian, I wanted to start with you. Besides being on the board of the Alumni Association at the Berkeley chapter, you're the director of risk management for the National Fraternity. And if I have this right, your grandfather was one of the first members of the fraternity back in the 30s? Is that,
yes.
Is that so?
He was part of the Alpha class.
Did your grandfather ever talk to you about why he was interested in starting this fraternity or being part of it? And why were you? Why are you?
All the time. It was something that was very important to him. He actually dragged me to a lot of events when I was a kid. And the reason he joined is because he thought it was very important to be a part of this community. These fraternities stand for, you know, doing well academically, being successful, Asian American awareness, networking, giving back to the community, and that was very important to him, and he instilled those values in me, and that's why I ended up joining the same fraternity.
Ken, what about you? Why were you interested in joining your fraternity?
Well, back when we first started off, the chapter did not exist on my campus, and I was actually part of the group that founded the chapter. And we chose Pi Alpha Phi because everything that they said on their website after doing our homework was in line with our own values.
And could you talk a little bit about the Asian American aspect of it? A lot of the African American fraternities started on historically black campuses, so there was no other alternative. But now, presumably when you started, you could have joined, for want of a better term, a white fraternity. Why was it having an Asian American experience important to you?
It was actually some of the experiences from the other people that were part of the founding group. They said they tried to join the white fraternities and they just found that it was just a group of drinking buddies. And they could have just easily found that with other people instead of having to pay hundreds of dollars every quarter just to have a group of people that they can party with.
I see. Marion, could you tell us about Jack?
Jack went away to college at the University of Texas and hoping to find a family away from home and kind of a social network, he decided to join Lambda Phi Epsilon. He went through the pledge process, and on the night of their initiation party, he was required to drink large amounts of alcohol, and he went to sleep that night. He passed out, and the members took him upstairs and put him to bed somewhere, and he never woke up the next morning.
So officially, what was the cause of death? Was it alcohol intoxication?
Yes, it was alcohol poisoning.
Let me just stop right here and say I'm very sorry for your loss. Your family then went on to sue the chapter. Did you find something out as a consequence of the lawsuit about the practices that were going on? I guess what I'm asking is, were these common practices?
I really don't know if it was a common practice, but we did find out that there was hazing involved.
Brian, would you talk about this? Was hazing a part of your experience when you joined the chapter? What form did the hazing take?
I would say my experience was much more the fun and games, boys will be boys type. Since I have been in the fraternity, I have seen a lot of changes. It seems there's a much more brutal mentality where you really have to prove your masculinity by either how much you can take physically or mentally, how much you can drink. You know, a lot of it, I think, it has, based on my research and people I've talked to, it's based on a lot of Black Greek customs. People see what Black Greeks are doing and they try and emulate that, although they don't necessarily have that cultural understanding. Or you watch a movie like School Days and you just copy that. And I have seen, and I've talked to members who've said, yeah, we got that from this group.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the rise of Asian American fraternities, and we're also talking about a number of incidents of hazing at these fraternities. Ken, what's your take on this? Did you go through hazing when you pledged? You started the chapter.
Yes,
so,
I did.
Was that a part of the experience when you joined, or did it become subsequently? What is your analysis of what Brian just said, that this has become more common?
No, that is absolutely correct, because that is exactly the experience that I went through. And physical injury is almost a normal part of what we go through. It's almost like a gang initiation for college students. I mean, we knew what we were getting ourselves into, and we felt that in order to make the difference that we wanted to make, that this was the price that we had to pay in order to do it.
Can you give me an experience of what you went through as a pledge and then what you later imposed on others as a, I guess, as a line supervisor or whatever you call it? You can tell I'm not Greek, right? So.
Well, I don't want to be too specific with it, but a lot of it involves heavy exercise to the point of exhaustion. And there are a few other what we call events, which is fairly ridiculous activity. And just for example, you know, there could be an event where the time allotted is impossible for the pledges to finish the said event. And then there would be a punishment. And then the lesson would be, you know, finish whatever you're assigned on time or else there will be consequences. But at the same time, these events are designed to cause great physical discomfort, and it's designed to try to weed guys out and try to make them quit.
How come you don't want to tell me more specifically what kinds of things that you did or what were done?
Well, at the same time, pointless as I see it is, this is also part of the fraternity's rituals. And I mean, I do respect the house and the privacy of our traditions and everything. And this is speaking out against hazing, but not really naming the specifics involved.
Brian, would you talk about this? Why do you think that it's gone too far in some of these cases? And I do have to say that this is not, there's no way to know whether this is the overwhelming experience. I mean, Ken is suggesting that it's more common than perhaps it was back in your day. But Brian, what's your sense of why this is going on? And I also want to hear from Ken, too.
I think hazing in general is a societal problem. It's not just Asian fraternities. You look at sports teams, high school clubs. I was reading a study the other day where it said one out of every two students coming into college have already been hazed. You know, so it's something that is an issue beyond just Asian fraternities.
Ken, what's your take on this?
Well, in terms of hazing getting too far, it all starts with hazing happening in the first place. And then the people that were hazed will in turn go and haze the next class. And, you know, they will say that since we had to do it, then you guys have to do it too. The cycle perpetuates and then it just becomes almost like a pointless fest where a bunch of guys are power tripping over others just because they know that they can.
Marion, did you know that this was going on with your brother when he was going through it?
No, I didn't. If I did, I definitely would have had a conversation with him about it, but no, I wasn't aware.
What impact has this had on your family, if you don't mind my asking?
It completely changed our family. Jack was he brought sort of a sense of vitality to the family. He was the youngest child, just kind of brought us together. And so when he died, it was really devastating for all of us.
Brian, what do you think the takeaway should be from all this? I mean, the suggestion has been made by some that some of these fraternities, because they're new, don't have kind of a council of wise elders to put a check on this kind of behavior. What would stop this?
Well, first I would say that almost all the Asian Greek organizations out there, you know, there's a lot of young groups. I mean, even if they're 20 years old, you know, that's nothing compared to other fraternities that have been around for 100 years. So we don't have the resources that a lot of established fraternities do. There's no physical headquarters. We don't have paid staff. We don't have the training. The alumni base is a lot smaller and younger. So sometimes leadership is just out of college themselves. But we're working with a lot of the other Asian Greek organizations through the National Asian Pacific Panhellenic Association, which is a non-governing body for 10 of the national Asian Greek organizations. And we're trying to educate our national boards on how to address hazing that may exist in some of their chapters. We've taken a very strong anti-hazing stance. And I think that's kind of where we're starting is these things have happened. We need to address it.
Ken, what about you? What would you hope that people would learn from your experience? And I am curious to know, if you had to do it all over again, would you still pledge?
If I had to do it all over again, no, I wouldn't. The way I see it now, I haven't exactly benefited from my experiences in the fraternity. I didn't get a job coming out of college. I didn't exactly have the type of network that I was exactly looking for in college where it was as expansive as I wanted it to be. And I could easily find that experience elsewhere without having to put up with some kind of ridiculous hazing. Mm-hmm. It's just very unfortunate for guys like Jack to have to pay the price for others to understand.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you more, but I'm not quite sure what to ask. Did something really bad happen to you?
Really bad, I can't really say, but it just I was actually physically injured myself. Mm-hmm. Not sent to the hospital, but just I was hurt myself. I've seen other guys hurt, but these injuries are minor compared to some of the things that you see on the news that eventually lead to lawsuits, to jail time. So if you want to say really bad, no, but if you want to say bad, then yes.
I see. I'm sorry, I don't mean to pry, but I guess the impression that I'm getting is it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah, it just, after you've been in it for a while, you just start to become disillusioned because you're seeing that this isn't exactly something that will help you out later on in life. And that's why guys like Brian and myself are trying to take this stance in changing everything so then our organization start to move forward and get out of the Stone Age.
Marion, I want to give you the final word.
I just want to say that since Jack's death, our family has never been the same. And I think that we're always going to find that a part of us is missing. And heart can't be replaced.
I'm sorry. Forgive me for asking, is it hard to talk about because there are other members of Greek organizations there with you, or is it just hard to talk about overall?
I think it's just hard to talk about overall because every time we talk about it, it's a reminder that, he's gone.
Well, thank you for talking to us, particularly because it's so painful. I really appreciate your being willing to do that. Marion Pumaroth is the sister of Jack Pumaroth, who died while pledging at an Asian fraternity at the University of Texas, and she joined me from member station WFDD in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Ryan G. is the president of the board of the Alumni Association of the Pi Alpha Phi chapter at the University of California at Berkeley. We are also joined by Ken Hui. He's an alumnus of the same fraternity at the University of California at Santa Barbara. They both joined me from NPR West. I thank you all so much for speaking with us, and Marion, once again, I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
To learn more and to read the Daily Beast article about hazing in Asian American fraternities, please visit our website at npr.org/tellmemore.